Good afternoon. We're going to start the October 25th meeting. We welcome everybody to the October 25th, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value, in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of vital and basic importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards are set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance, are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preference will not be a factor for the decision. At this time, please turn off all cell phones. Thank you. Do we have anybody joining us online? Yes. Who?
There are three people so far.
Three people. Wonderful.
Yeah.
If you are joining us online, please remain attentive and mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commission member must state their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves and their name for the record?
May Bowley.
Pam Miller.
Kirsten Connor.
Kathy Libina.
Robin Williams.
Rebecca Fenwick.
Thank you. Signposting. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? No? Terrific. Consent agenda. The agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Are we moving? Are we having any discussion? Okay.
I think so.
If no projects are removed, ask for a motion to, let's get a motion, sorry, to approve the consent agenda. Is there a motion?
Motion, Robin Williams, motion to approve the consent agenda.
Pam Miller, second.
For the?
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approved.
May Bowley, approve.
Vote passes. Continuing on, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we adopt today's agenda.
Robin Williams, second.
The vote.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Approval of the minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
May Bowley, motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Pam Miller, second.
All in favor?
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Motion passes. We will continue to the continued agenda. These are items that have been continued, deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Sorry, Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we approve today's continued agenda.
Robin Williams, second.
All in favor?
Mabel Lee, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Motion carries. We have one request for an extension, the petition of Estine Williams, 2101 Ogeechee Road, a six-month extension request. Is there a motion to approve the request for extensions?
May Bowley, motion to approve the request for extension.
Kirsten Connor, second.
All in favor?
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. We'll move on to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner, please limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items specifically identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. The first application is the petition of Tyler Carver, 1210 Drayton Street, after the fact, non-contributing demolition.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. 1210 Drayton Street was constructed in 1959 and is a non-contributing resource within the Victorian Historic District. The building is situated on Drayton Street between East Henry Street and East Duffy Lane. The 1950 and 53 Sanborn maps show different masonry filling station at this location than what appears today. By the 1955-1966 Sanborn map, the concrete block structure that is still presently there is represented with an iron auto repair building at the rear, which is potentially the current 108 East Henry Street. As for the significance of a former gas station and auto repair building outside of the period of significance, there are several other examples of restored gas stations that exist in Savannah on Drayton Street. There is Parker's at 222, and the former Texaco at 236, which is now Zunzi's, and at 241 Drayton Street Colony Bank, just to name some along Drayton, to show that, you know, this type is not one, you know, it's not the only example of an existing former gas station. Regarding the demolition criteria, the building was evaluated as to whether or not it meets the criteria to become a contributing building. This criteria includes association with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history or are associated with the lives of significant persons in our past or embody the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, method of construction, or that represent a work of a master or that possess high artistic values, or that represent a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction or have yielded or are likely to yield information important in history or prehistory. 1210 Drayton Street was constructed outside the period of significance, is not associated with events or persons that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history based on research. While the building is associated with some transportation history, as mentioned, there are other strong examples of gas stations, specifically along Drayton Street. The building is not likely to yield information important in history or prehistory beyond what staff research was able to uncover. In addition to the above-mentioned criteria, the building must also meet the criteria for exceptional importance. defined as a select group of exceptional resources constructed outside of the district's period of significance. These resources possess integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. Staff found that 1210 Drayton Street does not meet the exceptional importance criteria. At no point were there any attempts made to consider this a contributing resource, and it was approved for demolition previously in 2019, along with 108 East Henry Street, which that was approved at the staff level. That is a smaller outbuilding, vinyl clad outbuilding on the side from 1975. But since this building is over 40 years old, staff is recommending that the building is documented per the MPC policy for documenting buildings. In addition to this, staff also recommends salvaging any building materials that are in reusable condition where possible. So staff recommendation is to approve the request for the non-contributing demolition of the property at 1210 Drayton Street with the following conditions. Because the proposed demolition otherwise meets the criteria for non-contributing demolition. One, document the building per the MPC policy for documenting buildings. And two, if possible, salvage any reusable building materials. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
Rebecca Fenwick. Thank you, Caitlin. Was the demolition that was approved prior for the, you said for the vinyl clad building or also?
For both, yeah.
For both. And was it the same owner?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Just curious. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
The petitioner had to leave. I just spoke with him right before this meeting started. I don't know if there's anybody online, though, that might be representing.
What's the name on there?
What?
The name of the petitioner.
Oh, I don't. Tyler Carver was the petitioner, but he was... I just didn't know if he'd had another representative online potentially. Okay.
All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Okay. I guess we will enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Start with you, May.
Brief comments. I just wanted to commend staff for the recommendations that the documentation of this building is observed in advance of its removal and potential salvage. Thanks for that. That's all.
Caitlin, can you put the recommendation back up?
I have no further comment. I agree with you, Meg.
Kirsten Connor, I'm in agreement with staff recommendations.
Kathy Lipina, the same.
Robin Williams, same.
Rebecca Fenwick, I agree and just wish to say, not that this building is of exceptional significance, but I think it does underscore the need for considering expanding our period of significance and buildings outside of the end date for our period of significance.
Agreed. Is there any further discussion necessary? Is there a motion?
May Boley, motion to approve staff recommendations with conditions 1 and 2.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote, May.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Continuing with the regular agenda. The petition of J.L. Wallace, LLC, 509 West Gwinnett Street, addition.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval to construct a side addition and an ADA accessible ramp at the non-contributing resource located at 509 West Gwinnett Street, Connors Temple Baptist Church. Churches are considered monumental buildings, and the project will be reviewed with those standards. 509 West Gwinnett Street was constructed in 1980 and is a non-contributing resource. The building is near the intersection of West Gwinnett Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. There are no contributing resources on the block of West Gwinnett Street between MLK and May Street. And then just some street, different street angle perspectives, just to give a sense of where we're looking. So as mentioned, this project was reviewed as a monumental building. Monumental buildings are not subject to strict application of the Victorian Historic District design standards, but shall be subject to the following: visual compatibility criteria and the following design standards: mechanical equipment and refuse, parking and paving, and fences and walls. So we'll just look at the elevations. This is the addition portion here. Overall, staff found the addition to be visually compatible and meeting the standards for monumental buildings. Although monumental buildings are not evaluated on the design standards for windows and doors, with regard to the visual compatibility of the materials used, staff noted that both vinyl windows and aluminum clad windows were referenced on the drawings, but it was not clear which over the two was proposed. So because the look of vinyl windows is noticeably different than approved window materials, including wood, clad wood, and metal, staff is recommending ensuring that the aluminum clad windows are used rather than vinyl. And while there is a drawing of the storefront doors, if I can, the material was not specified in order of what's being used. So in order to evaluate the materials for visual compatibility, staff recommends that this information be provided. And with regard to the design standards, staff recommends if electrical meters are to be installed on the addition to note this on the drawings. There were no issues with the parking. That this is facing, situated within a large parking lot. So just showing the overview of the parking lot with the addition included. It's really just being pieced into this currently empty portion right here. So that'll be their parking. And then the ADA ramp, which meets the standards as well, as just some of those details there too. So with that, staff recommends to approve the proposed addition to the monumental building located at 509 West Gwinnett Street with the following conditions: to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, windows must be aluminum clad rather than vinyl. Two, provide information about the front door and transom materials. And three, if electrical meters are to be installed on the addition, provide this information on the drawings. Thanks, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Levina, I have one question. Noted was the screening for the mechanical equipment. Where is the mechanical equipment and is it screened?
I believe it's on the rear of the building. We can check with the applicant to see if that's the case.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. I'm Joe Wallace of J.L. Wallace, LLC.
Good afternoon. Would you like to address anything that
the electrical panel. It is in the rear, right, where she was trying to show you at. That's where all our electrical at. Our panels are back there. And as far as the windows, the clad windows, I can go back to my architect and have him do that. The doors, all the three things that you addressed, that we can go back to the architect, have him do a sheet for that, and then we'll submit that to you.
All right. And what about the HVAC units?
The HVAC units, yes, we got new units for for that area. And there will be also in the back where the electrical at. That's where all our AC panels are.
And that all will be screened then?
Yes, ma'am. It's all of it's fenced in as well right now.
So we just need to add that HVAC screening? If we were, maybe. Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor, this wasn't a question, but it was a comment. I really adore this church, by the way. I think it's, even though it's not within our period of significance for the district, mm-hmm. I do think this is another example of why we should extend it, because it is a beautiful church.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to make a comment? Anybody online?
No, ma'am. Okay.
We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Rebecca, would you like to begin?
Sure. I was going to go back to the drawing. I found the Craftsman details just a little curious. I think there probably are those same details on residential buildings in that immediate vicinity, but I haven't seen those details used on a commercial or civic or religious use. However, I believe it meets the ordinance. Just a curiosity and see if my colleagues had the same thought. That's all for now.
Robin?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and just I think the original church has such wonderful sort of mid-century modern qualities to it. Even the geometry of the roof, the central gable being very steep, and then the gentler slope over the broader part of the church, and it's this addition, the new pastoral and classroom addition, kind of wish that it would nod more to that mid-century modern style, but we don't have, there isn't it not being a contributing building, although one hopes that there'd be a dialogue, more of a dialogue between the addition and the church. So, but that would require changing the design, and it would, you know, it being outside the period of significance is harder to enforce that kind of recommendation, but would have been nice if there had been more sensitivity. I have a question, actually, I do have a question though, but this addition is hard against the old building. Won't that be cutting off light coming in from the east windows?
Yeah, on that side, we did have windows there, but on that side where we're connecting the building, there were windows there, and that's going to be a hallway now, and the windows are on the other side, the new addition side now, where all the classrooms and offices are.
So the light will pass through the new building and filter out into the hallway, I guess, is the idea?
Yes, because what the architect have is, like, where those original windows are now, he have similar to lights like that, drop lights right in each one of those windows to illuminate that area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the wall of the original church will be retained?
Yes.
Okay. So the windows will be retained?
Yes.
They'll have electric retained, lights, yeah, rather than?
Right.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I too express the concern that the two buildings don't have a relationship to each other. I would call that visual compatibility to each other. They don't speak to me as a single building. They're two very distinctive buildings on a commercial structure. I do not expect to find 6/6 windows that's not historic. And then that two-story beautiful window, I just think is such a statement, and that design feature and characteristic of the original church has not been carried over to the addition. I mean, to me, again, that's visual compatibility between the structure. I'm not sure what we can do with that since it's not a contributing building. So, yeah. Caitlin?
I don't know that there is anything. I mean, we weren't really evaluating it on the style only because it's non-contributing, just more that these would fit together, not so much the style, architectural style specifics.
Kirsten Connor, I would agree with my colleagues on that. But I really do appreciate the thoughtfulness of still keeping the integrity of the church, and especially that interior hallway, even though interior is not in our purview. I think that's a really wonderful idea. Thank you.
Pam Miller, I'm wondering, since you're coming back here with the windows and the door, if maybe there couldn't be some thought given as you present those that would be a little bit more compatible to the original style, since you have to bring those back anyway, if that's a possibility in that, that could maybe add a homage to the mid-century of the original church. That's just my thought and my question.
Do they have to come back, or it would just be staff approval?
It was just a material.
Yeah,
just material. Okay.
Just not using vinyl was the, yeah.
It would be a staff approval.
It doesn't require staff approval.
It will.
Okay, staff approval.
Back to staff.
So it could be something they could look at, though, maybe, or not. They don't have, I mean, they don't have to bring it back, but could they look at that? They don't have the style yet, right? Provide information about the front door. Do they have it? I guess.
But it is, it's just the materials weren't. The door schedule had that, it just didn't have the materials.
Meaning they are going to submit that information directly to staff without
right.
having to come back
okay.
before the commission.
Right.
Right. But if they were to change the design of the front of the building, they would have to come back before the commission.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Sorry. Thank you.
May, did we get that right? Okay. Okay, so I agree. I wish there was a real connection to the beautiful style of the original church, but I won't belabor the point since it's outside of our purview. I will say I'm really glad to see that frontage extended so that more of the streetscape from the pedestrian point of view is sort of recreated and intact. So that's nice. And good luck with all your construction.
Is there any other discussion necessary? Yes. Robin.
Okay, Robin Williams. I'm just looking at the three-quarter view, perspective view, or even the plan. One thing, regardless of the style, though, that this is it safe to say this is a subordinate building to the main building?
Yes.
So architecturally, a subordinate building should step behind the main building, and if we can look at the plan.
Well, for additions, they can be on the side or the rear.
That's... Just give me the plan. I'll show you what I'm talking about.
All right.
That,
I'm trying to see. There's a lot of
you had it. You had it with the parking lot. Plan with the parking lot. You go. Yeah. That one.
Here it is. Here it is.
Okay. So the portico of this building extends, I don't know, 6-8 feet in front of the original portico, the church portico. Ideally, where you have the roof line of an addition is where the front edge of the portico, its portico should be. In other words, it should be behind the main church, not standing in front of it. And in an ideal world, obviously you'd lose some square footage on the inside, but right now the experience of coming from what would be the east is this addition actually blocks the view of the church if you were on that same sidewalk. So just from the point of view of sort of architectural hierarchy.
What you're seeing, what you're seeing is sticking out. That's our original porch now that we have at the church. And we have this a ramp going right there. You're going right up under the ramp to get into the church. So, but this building don't stick out no further than the original church.
You've got me confused. So, Caitlin, can you point to the roof of this addition on this, on with your pointer, the roof, right, of the porch, the roof, that part. So you're saying that the roof of the porch that's proposed here, you're saying it already exists?
Yeah, on the original, yeah, on the original church.
Yes.
We don't have a roof there, but we have that porch there.
Sure.
Where we go up the stairs and get in there. So this is in line with that porch.
Right. But that, if it, the, Caitlin, pull up this one.
The front. Okay.
So as you see here, it sticks in front of. It, yes, it lines up with that little ramp, but
yeah,
if you take the front of the building, the church is the leading edge of the roof,
yeah,
sits behind the leading edge of this porch. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying because of this roof stick out further than that roof. And again, it's because this roof didn't extend over the porch. If this roof extended over the porch, they'd be at the same level or going across.
Because
existing porch on the existing church.
Yeah.
If I extend that roof over that existing church, they'd be at the same level.
Right. So if you were to extend the roof of the existing church
right.
out, but the you're not doing that, right? You're not modifying the existing church, and it is what it is. The
right.
roof only comes out so far.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm suggesting is on your addition, just pull the whole front porch back. So its leading edge is level with or behind the leading edge of the roof on the church so that you're not putting the minor piece in front of the major piece.
That's not going to obstruct anyone's vision because it's open.
Why not?
Just open. That porch is open. You see just pillars there and you walk on the porch. It won't obstruct no one vision. Coming from the side view.
I don't think we're on the same page in terms of understanding each other. And essentially, whether it obstructs someone or not, visually, just looking at this presentation drawing from your architect,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that this addition is going to be closer to the street. Will it or will it not be closer to the street than the church?
No, sir.
That's not what's represented here.
No, because again, that porch and what we have now is right in line with each other. It's a straight line.
Well, that's not what on your drawing.
Yes, it is.
Caitlin, pull up the plan. And point to the leading edge of the addition and point to the leading edge of the church. You see how the leading edge of the porch above those hash marks. Caitlin, can you put the pointer right on the leading edge of the church?
Yeah, because again, this porch right here. I see what you said.
I don't know what you're pointing at.
Right here. If you want to go ahead. Sorry. No, you're good. You just.
So if you look at the roof as shaded.
This is the roof right here, right?
Yeah.
Here.
Mm-hmm. That's closer to the street than the roof on the church. Yes or no?
Yes, then the roof on the church, yes.
Yes, and the roof on the church is what reads as the leading edge of the church, not the wheelchair, not the ramp at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
the leading edge of the church. And what I'm saying is ideally, your addition, the leading edge of the roof, would be behind the leading edge of the church, not in front of
right.
it.
Right.
That's
the roof.
All I'm trying to say is, if you want to do justice to your church and treat it with respect, the addition should be pushed back. That's all I'm arguing, suggesting. Something for you to consider, but as it is right now, it makes it look like the church becomes secondary.
Okay.
So it's something for you to consider. Talk to your designer and say they mentioned this.
Right.
I don't think we can enforce it, but I'm offering it to you because just from the point of view of architectural traditions, there's a long history of adding pieces to churches, but they shouldn't take over and dominate
mm-hmm.
the main event.
Understood.
Right? So.
Understood.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Kathy Ledvina, I agree with Dr. Williams' statement. I think if you were to reassess the addition as well as simplify the details, getting away again from the more residential architectural features such as the 6/6 windows, and creating an addition more in keeping with the principal building, I think it would be a more comprehensive building design. Anybody else have any further discussion? Rebecca? Do we have any basis for making maybe a continuance to consider the visual compatibility between the addition and the principal building?
Yeah, I mean, you all can do whatever you want to do.
So just because this is outside a period of significance, if we feel like the addition is not compatible with the original building, regardless of what, you know, there's no neighborhood there, it's all parking lots, right? So it's not like there's a neighbor it has to be compatible with, but ultimately the context is the existing building. So are we within our purview to say we think the addition should be more compatible with the original?
I think so.
Okay.
Rebecca Fenwick, point of clarity regarding continuances, are we not supposed to? It has to be formally requested, correct?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I meant to go over that with you all. They have to formally request a continuance. Otherwise, you have to give them a vote. That's state law.
So we're back to where we used to be, because we had a period, didn't we, where we could?
We were not doing it right.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So no. So either we vote it down, or if they sense we're going to vote it down, they could request it.
Right.
And we could ask them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you. Any further discussion? Is there any thought of asking the petitioner for a continuance? No. Is anybody comfortable making a motion?
I will put a motion on the floor. Rebecca Fenwick. So just as a point of clarity, we strive duly to provide guidance, support, knowledge, you know, as appointees of this commission. So just know that this dialogue is for that purpose, and we're grateful to have it with you. So I make a motion that we approve. We are on number 14. Approve the COA for 509 West Gwinnett Street with the three staff conditions, in addition to a fourth condition that the HVAC at the rear be screened and that information be submitted to staff.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, I second that motion.
For the vote,
Amy Boley approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Robin Williams deny.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Continuing to the petition of Jeremy Huggins, 1309 East Broad Street, alterations and new construction, small part 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 of an accessory structure at the rear of the property, located at 1309 East Broad Street. The applicant is also requesting approval to add 4 feet in height to the existing parapet wall of the principal building. So 1309 East Broad Street is a non-contributing structure. It is, the state of construction is unknown, but may have been sometime in the 1930s. It is the only building of this type in the immediate vicinity. Surrounded by Victorian era houses on Anderson Street and non-historic commercial buildings on the other side of East Broad. The Sanborn maps show an entire row of structures in the 1300 block of East Broad Street between East Anderson Street and East Henry Lane, but at present, the other lots are now vacant and part of this property. This project was first heard at the July 26, 2023 Historic Preservation Commission meeting. Although the project met the design standards, staff had concerns with the visual compatibility, believing that the accessory structure appeared as a secondary principal building. This is the previous submittal packet, and it's the building that was proposed. The board held the same concerns, and their decision from the July meeting was to deny the request because it was not visually compatible. In that time, the applicants reached out to staff to discuss alternative design ideas that could become visually compatible, which has been submitted for this review. Overall, staff found that much of the project is visually compatible and meets the standards, but just as with the previous application, staff still have concerns about the width and scale in relation to the primary building on site, which can be seen in these elevations. It currently appears that it is the same width as the primary building visually, so if staff is recommending that the applicant includes width measurements of both of these buildings to ensure the accessory structure is indeed subordinate. And with regard to the additional height proposed for the parapet wall of the primary building, visually there is an odd spacing already on the existing structure from the top of the windows to the top of the wall. This is existing, and then also just to give you a photo representation, just to kind of show that spacing there. So I found that adding banding and additional height may exacerbate this. Staff recommends that options are explored to possibly lower that banding and lessen the height to remain in proportion to those windows while still remaining taller than the proposed accessory structure. The other items staff noted were to provide product specifications on the type of stucco to be used, and if there are any electrical meters to be installed on the building, that would be visible to provide that information on the drawings. One thing that is not shown here, just because we need to be able to see the entire elevation, is the fact that there is a concrete block wall. So much of this level will be behind. There's a fence at the rear and then this wall on this structure, just for more context. But also just wanted to show, and of course 3D rendering, sometimes you don't necessarily have the scale, but just kind of about the concerns with the width and the mass here. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for new construction small parts 1 and 2 and the extension of the parapet wall at 1309 East Broad Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, provide width measurements of the right and left elevations to ensure that the width of the accessory structure is subordinate to the principal building. 2, provide stucco product material to ensure a true stucco is used. 3, explore height options with the extension of the parapet on the existing building to maintain visual compatibility. And 4, provide information about locations of any wall-mounted electrical equipment and how refuse will be screened from the public right of way. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
So, Caitlin, how close is the wall to the proposed building?
I don't know if we have those measurements. I mean, it's quite close, but I don't know. We may check with the applicants to see if they have the numerical distance for us.
Not marked on plan.
If, yeah, cause then.
So in the elevation to the right there, you can see it.
Yeah.
On the left, I trust that's the wall on the left.
Yes.
So it looks.
Cause it kind of goes like right there.
That little, isn't that, what's that thing that's a little under a story tall to the right of your cursor? Isn't that the wall?
This is the other part of the other building. So.
You're looking north. That's the north
south.
Elevation.
Okay.
South, yeah.
Well,
buildings in shadow behind.
Here's.
Yeah. So.
Let's.
Okay. Front elevation. So front faces which way?
Broad Street.
There's no doors on Broad Street.
Right elevation.
So the right elevation is what is on Broad. This is what exists, or, you know, just to kind of see, here's the existing. This is what we'd see right now.
So the wall is there.
Yes, it's already there.
Rebecca Fenwick, was that an after-the-fact wall?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we had a previous COA for that.
And the second floor of the original building is not original. That was added in, 2010? Something like that? It was a one-story building. So, and they added that second floor and those disproportional windows probably before HPC. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name?
Good afternoon. This is Matthew Fairhart. I appreciate staff reviewing this, as well as the board hearing this and giving any of their opinions about how we can make this the best building it can be. I know it's a very prominent building. And if you would like, I can go into some of those questions that you had about the block and how far away it is. So, showing here, the block wall is about 6 inches, so it's about 2 feet off of that, because this measurement shows the measurement from the property line.
Have you considered removing the wall where it is beside the building?
We have had conversations about that. A little bit of a background. I had been working on this project for a while with staff, trying to convey owners' comments and their vision with them. Last meeting, we thought it was better for the owners and for staff to talk directly, and I believe they made some great progress with that. And so, unfortunately, they're out of town, so I'm filling in for for some of that. So I can't speak directly for them, but I know that they want to make sure that this building, you know, is visually compatible and appealing, not just that, but appealing to the public eye. And so they have agreed in the past to have that wall opened up and potentially have it shifted so that it's not so imposing and, you know, show that building. It was installed previously to their ownership. And so, you know, they're trying to work with what they have here currently.
The wall was installed previous to their ownership.
Right. And we went back because the wall is too high.
Right.
And we got a COA for it to reduce the height of the wall. So, yes, ma'am. And to add stucco.
Just curious, when they did that work on the wall, did they have the vision to build this secondary building?
I'm not sure. They came to me about the wall first, and then we spoke about the addition later. I believe that it was always their intention to do something with it, but, you know, we had thrown out ideas from additions to the secondary structure, things like that. So.
What just seems it just looks a bit like something built behind the Berlin Wall. I mean, it's really uninviting. And if you put the building at the zero lot line, which I'm guessing you're allowed to, take out the wall and leave the wall where the building isn't, but put the building there also so that those windows actually, I mean, 2 feet, you're not going to get any view from those windows.
Sure. I can definitely understand.
It's, or maybe, I don't know. It just seems, I mean, this is not something you see in Savannah.
Sure. Sure.
And so I have trouble considering this compatible with anything. And just from regardless of context, it's a profoundly uninviting solution.
Sure. Talking with the owners there, they want to see the vision from the board because the board, you know, they rule on everything in Savannah. They have the most expertise when it comes to the vision of Savannah. And so they had told me that they were open to suggestions. And if we were to make that a conditional approval for, you know, bringing it to that lot line and making it more of a, you know, appealing street view, then they said that they would be open to those comments and conditions.
Great. And I support staff's recommendation to lower the height of that parapet. I think right now it's out of proportion, and I don't think you need, it's almost as if you've gone too far to make it the sort of the inverse of the conversation we just had about the church. Clearly it's subordinate, but hiding it behind a wall and, you know, is almost going too far.
Right.
Kathy Levino, do you have the dimensions of the building?
Of the building?
Yeah.
I believe we can.
As they compare to?
So, let me see here if you hold with me for one moment. So the current width is 30.
And how does that compare to the existing?
So I'm pulling it out now. The owners were heading out of town today, but they went by and they actually took measurements of the building. And looking at the face of it. So we have two widths here. You know, we have the width on Broad, and then we have the width for the rear, you know, I guess you were looking at from the rear. And so the existing structure is right at 30 feet. So they would be similar width on Broad Street, the exact same width on Broad Street. So
30 and 30.
Right. So that face view, I'll bring up that. So this view, there is no difference between the widths of the building when you're looking at it from this view. There is the reduction in width. So it's just as long as the building, but it's from, so, and it being on Broad, there's, you know, you can look at it from multiple different angles. So, and talking with the owners as well, because appreciate staff getting these comments out and letting us review them. They said that they would be open to, you know, reducing it and resubmitting for a conditional approval for those things. The floor plan has not been finalized on the inside. So.
Thank you.
Just curious, would you be open to a continuance since we can't impose that? In order to address the questions, because these are not insubstantial things that we're talking about.
Certainly. I would say that I believe we've had potentially 4 meetings about this, and potentially, you know, staff has worked very, very, very diligently with these owners to make it, to get it to the point where it's at today. They've put a lot of time into it. I believe that if we were to come to an agreement as far as, you know, reducing it by 2 feet, it being a square and not having some of those more complex characteristics, it would be, you know, easily scaled down a bowl. Pull that up for you guys. So reducing the width may even make it more attractive with those windows in those center areas here, looking a little open. So taking a foot pretty much off from each side of it, bringing it in.
And what about the possibility bring it closer to the lot line and removing the wall, or leaving where it is and just cutting the wall out and teeing it into the side of the building.
Sure. I wouldn't ask for y'all's opinions on that. I would like to hear, whatever you think would be the most appealing. I believe the reason for the setback was to keep it secondary to the primary structure as possible. So they didn't want it to be confused with another building on Broad. So maybe, opening the wall and teeing it in would keep that secondary appearance for it.
All right, any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, are there members of the public who would like to comment? We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. May?
This is May Boley. The wall in front of the windows is weird. even if the whole thing doesn't come out, it could be lowered for that portion of the building, because I'm concerned that with the whole wall being removed, then we'll have an issue with there being no front door on that side of the building, to have the side of the building exposed to Broad Street and all the egress is on one side or the other side behind a wall. Also seems a little odd. So somehow at maybe like adding a pier and in at the edge of the building and lowering that wall to a more garden height would still seem like a side building subordinate to the main building, and allow some light and not be as awkward, a thought, as opposed to teeing, putting a return on the wall to attach to the building. And then I think I would miss a door. Like, why is this a odd side? I don't know. Thoughts. Thank you.
Pam,
thank you, Meg. That's pretty, you articulated what I had in mind. Yeah, that wall height just seems very odd. So anything you can do to address that, I think, would be very helpful. And Meg certainly had some good ideas. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with May's recommendation to make it more of a garden wall with piers. I think that's more attractive, both for viewing from the outside and inside. And also, I don't see a reason to do a continuance for this. If the applicant is in agreeance to the staff recommendations and anything we have to add, I feel it would be perfectly fine to go through staff, as they are perfectly capable of ensuring it meets the standards.
Capulet Vina, I think that the building would read as more subordinate if they were to scale it back at least 2 feet, and they seemed, the petitioner seemed amenable to that. As for the parapet, extra height to this building just further emphasizes the disproportionate size of the second floor windows. I would definitely redesign that parapet wall lower or in more, more of a central, maybe a central parapet with step. A step parapet. But adding 4 feet would just exacerbate the top heaviness and of the building.
So I'm sympathetic to Mabel's suggestion of cutting the wall down with piers. There's actually a building on Drayton at Gaston where there's a fence, piers, and they built a wall behind an existing fence. It's not exactly the same situation, but the idea being that you could lower the wall here, have piers, and maybe have an iron fence in front of the house, provide some security or have a garden bed or something, but something that would allow transparency yet security and actually define. Yeah. Have some variation, break up the kind of ominousness of that wall.
And so if you're looking for a point of reference, there's one on Drayton, just north of Gaston. That's a really good example. And on the main building, so the parapet above the molding, Leah and Caitlin, is that what we're seeing on screen? Is that a proposed addition?
Yes.
Okay. So the current height of the building is at this, at the cornice line there?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, even the fact that the cornice is thicker, the additional parapet doesn't improve the design. I'd say just you've done other things that emphasize this the secondary or subordinate nature of this proposed building. I don't think you're improving it, as Kapila Advina was saying. So I would not include that component.
Rebecca Fenwick. And I think my concerns at the last time we reviewed this building were related to the street and the after the fact wall, and you know, it being an after the fact approval. You know, I don't know that I would have thought the wall was visually compatible. This was a commercial corridor, and it's almost a missed opportunity to reactivate part of the street, even if reactivation is just a pedestrian walking by, but that being an experience that someone would want to have. You know, people don't want to walk past parking garages or walls without any openings, those kinds of things. So, you know, it's interesting to hear that the owner was amenable to moving the building. So I think we had discussed that before. So I'm feeling torn, because I don't want you to have to keep coming back. those are my thoughts.
Further discussion, May?
May Boley. I just wanted to reiterate that I agree about lowering the banding on the original building, that the extra height, in as much as the original building is still taller than the other one, working with the proportion of top of window band, top of building, to make it feel, that's a great idea. And good job, staff, making that recommendation. I'm with Rebecca. I would like to circle back to the idea. I think I prefer the idea of keeping the building set back, lowering the wall, adding visual interest, piers, and iron grate, great idea, over pulling this building fully to the street. While I love a street frontage, I think I'm going to come back to the issue of egress, right? If it's going to be at that street level, it needs to have a door. And that I don't think suits the use. It's supposed to be private entrance from the main building, not street front entrance, right? So with that in mind, and while I also do agree, I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity. Those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Pam?
I really have no further discussion. I think I've heard from everybody. Thank you, Pam Miller.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Kathy Libano, I've said my piece.
I'm racking my brains, May. I'm sure there are carriage houses and other buildings that have windows facing the street and the main entrance on the lane. That seems like I know that's a common solution.
Do you feel like you'd prefer the building also to be pulled up to the street line?
In an ideal world, we get rid of this wall. I mean,
punch a hole in the wall and bring the building up to the line of the wall. Is that what we're talking about?
That would be even better than your original suggestion.
Lowering the wall.
Of lowering the wall. I just think, because the wall will probably someday disappear, the building is not likely to be moved or shifted, or like if they build it where it is, it's not likely to be moved 2.5 feet out to the street. But if it's built that way, the wall, it could come or go, or, you know, it's a ephemeral element. And it's not inconceivable that the subordinate building could be reactivated, a door punched in, store added. But if it's perennially 2.5 feet back, then the possibility of that use in the future. And I just think of carriage houses, they orient to the lanes and they have windows facing a street like Barnard or Abercorn. It's a very common, I don't have one right in front of me, but I can just visualize them from my experience in Savannah. So, and other neighborhoods. So I think but I wasn't at the previous meeting where this was addressed. Was that proposal
put on the table to move it out to the street line, or no?
I don't remember.
It was, and I didn't think the petitioner was willing to do that.
Yes, please come to the podium.
We certainly did hear those recommendations from the board for it. The primary issue that we came up with moving it to the street is it being an imposing building as far as it being an accessory structure to the primary. Bringing it to the street made it more primary. And that was our major thing that we were trying to accomplish last time, was to keep it subordinate to the building. And so we had changed some material and some heights and things like that for this meeting to make that more amenable. I believe that it could look great if the building was just brought forward. And then, like you said, eventually maybe doors or something like that can be put in. But if we lose that opportunity, if it is pushed back like that, and from what I know, we are able to do a zero lot line for this building based on the zoning for it. So
I think given that you're already proposed to shorten it, I don't know what elevation this is, but the one that we're looking at right now,
yes,
will be shortened by 2 feet.
Yes, sir.
And it's clearly shorter than the neighbor, even if the neighbor isn't as made as tall. I don't think you're going to have a problem with subordination. I mean, they're going to be similar, but
sure.
It's not like there's a one size fits all ratio of 1-2 or something between minor and major buildings. But I think the possibility of activating East Broad Street and having the potential for that is worth bringing it out to the zero lot line.
And I believe our current use, as far as the doors being on the interior of the lot, keep it that accessory use for as long as Savannah deems that, you know, cannot be made into a primary. One day when we're a bigger city, maybe that those change and we're allowed to have those street facing entrances and this lot's allowed to do that. But currently I think that would, you know, keep it accessory as well as make it more beautiful in that lot.
So I have a question for staff, but I'll maybe some others might have some questions for you while you're at the podium. So thank you so much. Caitlin, if I were to make a motion and that included a condition that the building be moved out to zero lot line and remove the wall where the building is that something that we could just leave as on the checklist for staff to verify?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Kirsten Connor, I think my original intention for me not agreeing with it being moved was I was concerned about it not being able to be an accessory building, but knowing that they do have zero lot line ability, I completely agree with my colleagues on moving that. I think it would be very beneficial for the street.
Any further discussion necessary? Make a motion.
I make a motion, this is Robin Williams, I make a motion that we approve the request for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and the extension of the parapet wall. We don't want that. Okay, let me parse this. So if we don't want the extension of the parapet wall, do I just omit that from my
They have explore height options. I believe staff, I don't want to speak for them, but they would also like the parapet wall shortened. And so I believe that exploring height options was reducing that based on, I think, their opinions. I'm not sure. I'll let them kind of touch on that. But
yeah, that was why we just said to be more proportionate with the existing situation of those kind of out of proportion windows.
And they're going to work with you, with staff, to make sure they hit the ball. Remove that phrase, the extension of the parapet wall. So does staff want them to extend it at all?
I mean, our thought was just if they wanted to do it, it just needs to be a little more visually compatible, and that 4 feet was a little too tall.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine leaving that up to staff to work out with the applicant to figure out what the right height is, because, you know, we're not in a position to dictate a specific solution in that regard. So I'll leave the phrasing in. Make a motion to approve the request for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and the extension of the parapet wall at 1309 East Broad Street with the following conditions: to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. So staff recommendations 1 through 4 plus the moving of the secondary building out to the zero lot line to replace the wall where that and remove the wall accordingly. I think that takes care of it. Does that take care of it?
The reduction.
Oh, and the reduction of the facade facing, is that East Broad Street?
Yeah.
Facing East Broad Street of the subordinate building by 2 feet. Reducing the width, yes, of the subordinate building's front elevation or East Broad Street elevation.
Kirsten, Connor, just a question. Did we need to address more about the fence? It sounded like you were just completely removing it.
Yeah, so the building would replace the wall where it hits the zero lot line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to the applicant to decide, did they leave the wall left and right of it or remove it altogether? That's up to them.
Got it. Thank you.
So I didn't put that into my motion, just that the building replace the wall at the zero lot line. Is that clear? Sorry, that was a really messy motion.
Do you want to restate it or you're comfortable?
No,
everybody's comfortable
not
with them?
Really.
Everybody's comfortable. Is there a second?
Nay Bowley second.
For the vote, Rebecca?
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Robin Williams approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Nay Bowley approve.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for being so amenable to board feedback. Okay.
Moving along, petition of Ethos Preservation, 103 East Park Lane, new construction, small and special exemption and variance recommendation requests.
Kirsten Connor, I will be recusing myself from this.
Rebecca Fenwick, also recuse.
I know I've asked this before, but because they're at this meeting but not here, we still have a quorum, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
May I, if you just give us 2 seconds to read this?
Sure.
I mentioned it in the pre-meeting, but that letter, you have a hard copy of that because it came in right before the pre-meeting started. That's why you all have a hard copy.
Leah, I'm just a little puzzled by the final sentence of this letter. Is the applicant that this letter's... Oh. You're walking away on me. So the final sentence asking if this author, Michael Jenkins, will I be exempt from current height restrictions, is the applicant that we're about to review requesting this?
No.
I was just confused about that last
sentence. I don't know what that means. They're not asking for any kind of, I mean, you're allowed 3 stories up to 40 feet in this area, so I don't know.
Even on a lane?
Yeah. It's not
really?
Different. Yeah, it's not different.
I thought... When we did the height
It's not a carriage house. And I think that's what I think we need to remember is that this is not a carriage house. It's a primary parcel facing a lane.
Not that you all would think three stories up to 40 feet is visually compatible, but that's not even what they're
So it's sort of like the principal residence facing Barnard at
yes.
Charlton Lane.
I'm not sure.
Was more than two stories.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
It's subdivided.
Yeah, I mean, it's not completely uncommon, especially in the Victorian district, to have a principal building facing a lane. But it's two stories and
okay. Thank 20, you.
29 feet, I think, something like that. So I'm not sure what that... All right, we ready?
Ready.
All right. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story single-family residence for the vacant property located at 103 East Park Lane. The applicant is requesting a special exception from the standard that reads on the single-family detached front porch, a minimum of 6 feet in depth shall be required over a minimum of 50% of the front facade to allow for a stoop that is 4 feet by 6 feet wide. And then they're also requesting a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard regarding the rear yard setback required to be a minimum of 30 feet to allow for a 6 foot, 2 inch rear yard setback. If you all recall, the project was first heard at the September 27th meeting and you voted to, you continued the petition in order for the applicant to increase the rear yard setback to lessen the requested variance and redesign the roof line to tie the top of the building to the bottom. All right, regarding special exception criteria, the purpose for the stoop as opposed to a porch as required by the ordinance is to accommodate a garage within the footprint of the building. This garage satisfies the parking requirement within the ordinance. Stoops instead of porches are found on contributing lane dwellings throughout the Victorian Historic District. The applicant provides three examples within their submittal packet. Regarding the variance recommendation request, the variance would not be injurious to the public health, safety, or welfare. The land is peculiar in that it is only half as deep as other parcels along this block, and it faces the lane. This parcel has been divided like this for an extensive amount of time and is therefore not a result from the action of the applicant. Along this lane slash block base, the setbacks of other lane-facing buildings have shallow rear yard setbacks. The requested variance is the minimum that's necessary to make possible and reasonable use of the land. Rear yard setback has increased from the original proposal. Staff now finds that the special privilege will not be granted. Regarding visual compatibility, staff finds the proposed building visually compatible with contributing buildings to which it's visually related. Per the commission's request, the applicant has added decorative molding within the eaves as well as eave brackets and changed one of the roofs to a front-facing gable. You can see that here. Here's the gable and the eave brackets. Regarding design standards, the HVAC units have moved. So they were along this side of the building, if you recall, because that was a concern of the neighbor with them being over here. So they've actually moved them to the rear of the building here. Staff is recommending to approve the request as requested because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards, and approve the special exception from the standard that reads on single family detached, a front porch a minimum of 6 feet in depth shall be required over a minimum of 50% of the front facade to allow for a stoop that is 4 feet deep by 6 feet wide because the special exception criteria are met, and approve a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard that reads that a 30-foot minimum rear yard setback is required to allow for a 6 foot, 2 inch rear yard setback because the variance criteria are met. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
Just one. What was the setback they originally proposed that we asked them to increase?
5 feet.
5 feet. So they added about a foot.
Foot two.
A foot two. Thank you.
Any further questions? Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Thank you to staff for your review of this project, and thank you to the board for reviewing it at the last meeting, September 27th. We were here, and you guys had really helpful comments, and we've incorporated them to the best that we have been able to, including making the second floor more consistent with the decorative elements on the ground floor, changing that hipped roof to a gable, et cetera. We've been able to move the building to increase that rear yard setback by 1 foot, 2 inches, which I know is not a lot. This is just a very small lot, because it's been subdivided. It should have been, originally 100 foot, and it was subdivided 100 years ago to make it 50 feet. And it's just a challenging site. The building itself only has a footprint of a little less than 1,000 square feet, so we don't feel like it's oversized. It is meeting the side yard setbacks. We did want to address the comments of one of the adjacent neighbors whose building is right on the lot line, concerned about how they would be able to maintain that side of their building if the HVAC units, which are not movable easily, at least, were located there. Therefore, we've moved those to the rear yard. The trash cans are still proposed to be located on the side yard, but of course those are movable if necessary. So we are happy to answer any questions, but would certainly appreciate your support of staff recommendations.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? No. Nope. All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Michael Arcangelo. I'm the owner of 107 East Park Avenue. So the back of my building kind of faces this project here. That lot has been an eyesore since I bought the building in 2016, and I can't think of a better way to clean up that eyesore than to put a nice new building back there. The main reason that it's an eyesore is that Snap, which owns a warehouse right next to that, pretty much uses that lot as their dumping ground. And I do feel bad for the owner who's had to deal with all the maintenance vehicles, trash cans, stuff they pulled out of houses, literally just getting dumped there. I'm on the phone with code compliance as well as the neighbors all the time trying to get that cleaned up. So I think having a nice new house back there with a resident on site is going to do a lot to clean that lane up. I read the email from Mr. Jenkins. He's a neighbor and friend of mine, and I pledge to help out with the trash situation back there, making sure it's policed up. So I'm excited for this project. My only concern is the actual construction team using my property as parking. I'm the most obvious choice to put a vehicle back there. So as long as the owner is taking my property rights into consideration, then can't wait for it to happen.
Great. Thank you so much for taking time and commenting today. We will, if hearing no questions, further questions, we'll now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll start with Robin.
No further comment.
Kathy Libinen, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
All right. Is there a motion?
May Boley, motion to approve the request for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story single family residence for the vacant property at 103 East Park Lane as requested, and approve a special exception from the standard for the porch, and approve a variance recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard regarding the rear setback.
Robin Williams, second.
For the vote, May.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Moving forward, Kyler Brownville District, the petition of Heather Halverson and Juan Carlos Vasquez, 671-673 West 34th Street, special exception request after the fact alterations. Can we, yep. Is
Rebecca on her way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, do you mind if I take 1 minute?
Sure. This?
Okay.
Have we had anyone speak online yet?
No.
I knew there were people, so I was just curious.
All right, thank you for your patience. All right, the applicant has requested approval for a special exception for after-the-fact alterations to the property located at 671 673 West 34th Street. The special exception request is to allow all work that was completed to stay in place. The work is as follows. Removal of front porch elements, including the roof, CMU base and wood columns, wood balusters and railings, and the base of the porch remains. Removal of windows from all openings. The replacement windows are vinyl and the opening sizes have decreased at the top. Removal and replacement of all doors and infill of transoms above the doors. Removal of eave brackets. Installation of a fence. And then reconfiguration of the rear. This includes an extension of the east portion of the rear to be one large addition on the back, and the new roof extends over the entirety of the addition. The historic building was constructed in 1891 and is a contributing resource. I'm going to provide a short overview of the history of this project. So Heather Halverson reached out to the Historic Preservation Department on May 12, 2021, after receiving word from Code Compliance of work done on the property without a COA. She bought the property from Taylor Investment Ventures, LLC, with Matt Follis as real estate licensee, with the work already completed. Following a preliminary conversation with Ms. Halverson, staff completed a site visit to see the extent of the work completed and did research regarding existing permits or COAs for the address. The property is listed as last receiving permits of any kind in 2014. There are no COAs attributed to the property. Staff has been unable to find any building permits that date any sooner and believe that's the last time the building was renovated prior to the most recent work. Staff has been working with the current owner to have as-built drawings made and to produce a complete application in order to appear before the commission since this time. Regarding the special exception request and the review criteria for special exceptions, the first criterion, whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and provisions of the ordinance. The goals of the ordinance are the maintenance of historic buildings, and this work has not done that. The criterion is not met. Whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. Historic preservation is in the public interest. This work is detrimental to that interest. Also, it's detrimental to the appearance of the adjacent historic uses. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, the standards are not met. The entire house has been completely altered. The majority of the historic materials, features, and elements have been removed from the property. The best image
to see what actually happened to it is here. You can see what was left of the original building on the front here. With regard to materials and visual compatibility, the windows, doors, and railings have been replaced with vinyl and metal, which are not appropriate or visually compatible. Roof shapes, the roof shape has been reconfigured and is not visually compatible to contributing structures to which it's visually related. Regarding design standards, it appears that the existing 6/6 windows were 6/6 light wood double hung windows. Replacement windows are vinyl 1/1 light and opening sizes have been altered. It's unclear what the doors looked like prior to this work. However, the transoms above the doors were removed. There were transoms up here. The roof of the porch, the columns, column bases, and railings have been removed. Although all likely in an original configuration and location, they were not likely the original materials. The new work does not match the configuration of the porch that was there. Regarding the roof materials, original roof materials shall be repaired rather than replaced. So the roof, the original roof was no longer present. It actually was already a shingle roof. So replacing it with a shingle roof, actually that standard is met. The rear addition has obliterated the connection between the original and new. So you can see this is what the rear looks like now. And this is what it looked like before this work was done. So this whole portion of the building was removed here, and the roof changed shape. However, staff finds that it would do more harm than good to require the removal of the addition. 6-foot high wood fence has been installed in the side and rear yards. The standards are met for fences. So, staff is recommending approval for a special exception for the following after the fact alterations to the property. 1, the rear addition. 2, the roof replacement. And 3, the fence. Because the removal of the addition would further destroy historic materials, because the standards are met for the roof replacement and the fence, and denial for the special exception for the following after the fact alterations. 1, removal of the front porch elements, including the roof, CNU base and wood columns and wood balusters and railings. 2, removal of windows from all openings. The replacement windows are vinyl and the opening sizes have been decreased at the top. 3, removal and replacement of all doors and infill of transoms above the doors. And 4, removal of eave brackets because the special exception criteria are not met. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
Yeah, should your number 2 also specify that the original windows were 6/6 and the replacement windows don't match that? So not only is it a vinyl versus wood and a dimension.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also add the number of lights.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Kathy Ledvine, I have a question. The new addition, is the siding wood siding, or did they?
We believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
We couldn't. The right of way is very deep on that side because it's a vacant lot behind. So we didn't walk across the vacant lot to go and touch it.
And then my second question is, what about the back chimney? It appears that that's been removed as well.
Yeah, it has.
It has been removed. Okay. And we don't know anything about the doors, the transoms.
Just couldn't tell from the old pictures because there were like storm doors or something on there. So you just couldn't tell what was behind there.
What would have typically been?
Would have been like a wood, probably a half light or a 6-panel door.
Thank you.
Leah, did you say that all this was done prior to the current owner's purchase?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a letter in the packet, I think, from the owner, current owner.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a very bad situation.
I have a question also. Sorry, did you have another? Oh, okay. And it's actually like a hypothetical. So if for some reason this property would stay in its current condition, would it remain a contributing building?
Yes. We'd have, I mean, we'd have to, you know, file a text amendment to remove it, which I wouldn't initiate that.
Right. I just was curious, but yes, I mean, that, clearly that's the process. So, okay.
Any other questions for staff?
Thank you. I have one. I'm so sorry. Removal of windows from all openings and the doors. How does that speak to the rear addition? Are we only talking about the footprint of the building before the alterations? Meaning, if we were to deny the windows, do they have to replace every window in the building or only the front portion?
So it would be the front and the sides, okay, and not the addition.
Okay, they wouldn't have to do the right addition windows.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, they're vinyl. Original building? Actually.
The original building.
Right.
The original building they would have to
go
do
back to 606. The addition would have to comply with the standards.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But.
Yeah. So they'd have to be a window type on the addition that complied with the new construction standards.
So it would be every window in the building.
Yep, technically.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Is the petitioner?
She's online. Heather Halverson.
Hi there. It's Heather Halverson.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Hi there. I'm not sure what I should say.
Can you address staff's recommendation?
Yes. I'm struggling. I'm so sorry. So when I started this process, we had felt, you know, a lot of panic. We had tried, you know, to do everything the right way. We hired local people, you know, local realtor and lawyer and inspector who, you know, I mean, it all seemed like we were making a normal purchase and the property was listed as a 1960s property in the listing, which is in the packet. So I met with a lawyer, Harold Yellen, who also met with Leah and myself. He was able to determine that the person who did the building, you know, sold it to us knowing that these problems were coming with it and did not disclose it to us. And I would just, you know, respectfully say that, you know, considering the scope of what's, you know, Mr. Yellen had kind of said that there's some liability, you know, that on the city, for the city too, and that he recommended that the city should suggest a porch and windows on the front. So we priced that out and it was about $24,000. And so to hear that all the windows on the property need to be changed out, to hear even that number is really hard for us to think about, and to hear that more is considered to being added is tough. I mean, if it's going to be a $35,000 to $40,000 bill, and any one of you were, you know, hit with that bill and asked to pay it within 2 years, which is what it looks like on the paperwork that I read that I received. I mean, if you could do that, I mean, more power to you. But we won't be able to do that, which means we will continue to be out of compliance, which has stressed me out a lot. And as you can hear, I am struggling. So this is why we're asking for a special exception, because, you know, we don't know how we're going to make this happen.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
This is Pam Miller. How long were you residing in the building before you got something from code enforcement?
So we don't reside in the building. My husband and I purchased the building because we are planning to move to Savannah. My sister lives right in the neighborhood, and right in a nearby neighborhood. It's not technically the same neighborhood, but we just were planning to move down a few years from now to be closer to family. And so we...
Let me re-clarify my question then, if I may. How long had you owned the building before you heard from code enforcement?
Sure, sorry about that. Just a few months, maybe within within the second month of purchasing the property, our property manager contacted us and told us there was something on the side, a poster on the side of the building.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Are there any questions? Go ahead.
I have a question for staff. I might have missed it, but how long was it between when these alterations were made and when code enforcement came out?
I actually don't know because I wasn't aware that the changes had been made. It was came on code compliance's radar. They're the ones that actually found it. So I don't know how long it was on their radar. I imagine it was probably a pretty quick turnaround from the time that he, rehabbed the building to the time he sold it.
Yeah.
Do we know if he was cited at all?
He was.
He was cited in the process.
Yep.
So he did know that he was in violation.
Thank you.
Is there any repercussion from the city to that LLC and Matt, I guess is his name?
I don't think from the city to him, no.
From the purchaser to them. So hopefully there would certainly be legal recourse to go after him to cover the cost of these changes.
Yeah, and I'm not going to speak for Ms. Halverson, but I know that ultimately costs even more than the work itself, the legal,
Go ahead. So, at the recommendation of Mr. Yellen, we did speak to a litigator who said the same thing. She said that it would cost us more to take him to court than it would cost to fix everything.
Kathy Levine, to the petitioner, is the building currently rented?
It is currently rented.
This is Robin Williams. Question for the petitioner. Can you repeat the quote you got for replacing the front windows?
It was a quote for windows and a porch.
And the porch. Okay.
Yeah. And
I thought you said $24,000 for just the windows.
Okay.
I
don't have the exact quote here because it was given to my property manager, I am working off memory, but my memory is telling me right around 24.
And Kathy Levine, where did you get the 2 years?
Oh, me? Is that for me? Sorry. I thought, unless I misread it, which is totally possible, I read in this letter that was one of the links under the agenda, and there was a time frame, time limitation. I'm sorry, I'm just scrolling and looking. And I thought it looked like there was, I'm just trying to find, and I'm all full of nerves now, so bear with me.
You're fine.
Okay. All right, does anybody else know where I would see that in this letter?
In the staff report?
Yes.
In a decision, it would say 2 years. So maybe I mentioned it to you at some point.
No, I thought I read it today.
Expiration? That's the COA expiration.
But does she have to do the work by that?
She has to get a permit by then.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I didn't understand the lingo. I didn't interpret that correctly. Maybe I'm not sure what your thoughts are on timing.
Okay. So she could receive the COA and then she has 2 years in which to get the permit.
Well, technically, if there's no action, any kind of action taken on it in 2 years, it expires, which would be like a permit or something like that. Yeah.
Are there any other questions for staff or the petitioner? I know it's a difficult situation.
I have questions for staff. Number one, would we have the power to extend any kind of timeline associated with any necessary repairs? Or no?
No.
Not at all. Number two, would we have the power to limit, say, to the front of the building? As my question earlier, do we have to replace every window?
You can do anything you want. I mean, you could say that all, you know, that the criteria are met for everything and she can leave it exactly how it is. You can, okay. Yeah.
And then one final question. Has this, in your experience, come before you before?
Yes.
Situation?
Yes.
How often? Is it terribly frequent?
Once every couple of years.
Once every couple of years, somebody buys a building.
This bad.
This bad.
Yeah.
Without having any way of knowing that they were purchasing something that had.
Yeah.
Has there ever been an example of, I don't think that that's the case in this case, but has there ever been an example of somebody taking advantage of this, say renovating, short selling a building to an entity knowingly and then getting off?
Yes.
Yes.
Same guy too.
The same guy.
Yeah.
So,
and not just him.
And I asked this question because, I'm very torn about this. This is a really unfortunate situation. So difficult, to know what to do. I bring it up just because hypothetically, you know, if buildings which are sold in violation are then always released from any kind of expectation, builders can intentionally exploit that loophole, right? Renovate a building, sell it to somebody else, that person gets excused, right? All within house. I bring it up just to point out why this is such a difficult. I'd be inclined to say Ms. Halverson's not at fault and to let her go, but I hesitate also because I don't want to see this continue happening to historic buildings in our city. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner or staff?
I have a question. May I?
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that we could have done differently.
I don't know.
Sort of looking up the building in some sort of, the e-track system to see if they were, but I wouldn't expect anyone to do that in the normal course of purchasing a home.
Rebecca Fenwick, this was marked on the contributing, non-contributing buildings map correctly.
Yes.
Correct. So this comes up quite a bit where folks do not realize they're in a local historic district, you know, despite the fact that all the information is online. And, you know, this has been this was like an issue of the subcommittee, like education, like what the first utility bill, like what is the course of action to let a new buyer, a potential buyer, a real estate agent, whomever. I mean, clearly these folks were working with this knowledge already so that the real estate agent, that's a no-go on any education or reliance of information, but.
But there are several people. The contractor's at fault. The real estate agent is at fault. They're in cahoots. I mean, they're not in cahoots. They are related, or there's a relation, a direct relationship there
between
contractor.
I know that guy is also a contractor, so he might have done the work himself.
But he's still, I mean, right. And, yeah. But the work should have been brought to the city of Savannah, and that, I mean, that wasn't done either. The real estate agent, the lawyer, who closed the property, I mean, should have found, I would think that they would have given them a little bit more direction. So there are several levels of misunderstanding.
Pam Miller, I'm also a realtor, and I can tell you that the lack of education around this is pretty glaring. And considering the kinds of realtors and what it takes to become a realtor anymore, a lot of people don't even know to look for these things. And I think that that's something that I would like to bring up to my local real estate board to see if there could be some more training or education around these things, because I really do. I'm very torn about this when, you know, a client comes to me and wants to buy a house and we have all the information we think is pertinent to that particular property, and that deal goes through and nobody's mentioned or seen anything, and that person is then stuck with somebody else did. That's heart-wrenching. It's difficult. But I do know that there's got to be some better way to identify these before we get to that point. So thank you so much.
Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation and Historic Properties for Historic Savannah Foundation. To answer, someone asked this question. This has happened in the past. It has happened in Kyler Brownville, one that the city even constructed an entire building without ever coming before this board. And then it even happened last month at the Historic District Board of Review. There was a property that came before them that had a lot of work done prior to the person purchasing it. In both those instances, the boards did approve them as they were because they felt that the current owner was not at fault, which in this case, HSF feels the same. We would love for all these things to be fixed. However, sometimes these things happen and terrible things happen. There are systems put in place that ahead of time should have caught this, and they didn't. So that's unfortunate. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Speaking on Pam Miller's behalf here, HSF would love to provide that education. We've done it in the past and we'll do it again. So anyone who wants to come forward and ask for that, we would be willing to do it. We'll host those events and we will provide that education. But HSF and our Architecture Review Committee did meet this past Monday and they felt that this owner just was not at fault for this. It's very unfortunate, and we would support you all if you made the decision to approve it as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further comments?
And to let you know, the MPC has also done training for realtors in the past where we've met with the real estate agents to ensure that they know where the historic districts are and the regulations. Leah has actually participated in that training.
Any other questions? Hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. Each board member will have 2 minutes, two times to speak. Start with May.
I would love to hear the thoughts of my fellow commissioners. I think I've already expressed that I feel really torn by this one. Very sympathetic to the petitioner and also very anxious about setting precedent that folks who want to, you know, make a profit by destroying historic assets can do so by just quickly selling the project, even if it's to an entity with whom they have an agreement, in order to avoid repercussions. So those are my anxieties. Thank you.
Pam?
Pam Miller. I agree with what Meg's saying. We need to be very careful about precedent setting. However, I understand that but Ryan just said that there have been several instances of this recently and the decision was made to let it stay. I do believe that there needs to be a better, broader education so that people don't get caught in this trap as a new buyer to be told that nothing was right, and basically no repercussions to people before. I'm leaning towards leaving it as is. My opinion.
Kirsten Connor, I just wanted to thank the petitioner for showing up and, discussing this with us. And I also agree with Ryan Jarles from HSF and echo what May has said. It's a hard decision, and we don't want to set a precedence, but we also don't want to use this as some kind of example at the cost of the petitioner. So I would I'm leaning towards approving these special exceptions.
Kathy Ledvina, I know this is not going to be popular, but I feel that this property should be returned and comply with the Secretary of Interior standards, with the exceptions as noted by by staff report. I feel to be in compliance with the rest of the neighborhood, the minimal amount, the porches, the windows in the original addition should be restored. This is an income-producing property. Obviously, you see that it's $900 or $950 a month. That's a pretty substantial amount when put back into a property. It's not 2 years. That can be financed. There is money coming in. It's not a single family owner occupied building. This is income producing. Money is coming in to support the financial hardship, which it is, that would be accrued if you went to the lawyer. Harold is not inexpensive, but they could recover damages from both the contractor as well as the real estate agent. That's not in our purview. I understand that. I feel that this building needs to be visually compatible and returned to its historic character at a minimum. What's stated in staff's report, the porches put back to their original configurations, the windows in the original building put back to their original configuration, and the brackets reinstalled. Robin.
Wow. Got to digest a lot. And this is one of the most vexing, I think, petitions we've had. I've been on boards for 10 years and I can't remember one quite like this. And I'm very sympathetic to both sides of this issue. And, at the end of the day, we're not supposed to put financial considerations as a variable to consider in this, but it seems more than just financial here, where we've got legal implications, and it makes me wonder if, and this is beyond the scope of this petition, if the city could enact an ordinance that made, I don't know if that's viable or not, but when somebody knowingly sells a building that doesn't comply with municipal guidelines regarding preservation, that they, even though they've sold it, that they are still legally responsible. I don't know if that's even a starter, and that doesn't solve your problem, the applicant's problem. I think of all the parts of this building that I think are most character defining would be the porch. To say that all the windows have to be replaced is less of an emergency to my mind than just the porch. And if the porch could be done, that I think is the most character defining element of this project. So I don't know if we could parse the staff recommendations in a motion.
Rebecca Fenwick, I think the thing that is particularly challenging about this one, because we have seen these before where it's changed hands and there has been some dramatic changes. Even in our tenure, just the last year, even if you were going to try to do some homework on this in your purchase, wouldn't have come up from the address because there wasn't any permit or COA. I mean, there'd be nothing to pull that would indicate anything, because nothing was on file anywhere, right? I mean, so I think that in particular makes it, whereas if, you know, someone didn't do their due diligence, you know, I had mentioned the contributing, non-contributing map. It's like, yes, that exists and you could know that your building's contributing, but you wouldn't know. You couldn't go to the search bar on the MPC page, put in the address and find past agendas where we discussed it or anything like that, right? So, you know, the question of what else could I have done, you know, that's a tough one. So I, beyond that, I really can see all angles that my colleagues have presented. No other comment.
Continue the discussion, May.
I don't think I have any further comment either. I'm looking in Sages right now to see what year the building shows.
Pam?
Other than what I've said, I had no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, I have no changed opinions from what I said before. This is very, very unfortunate, and I think there's a bigger problem at hand, not only education, but finding some kind of outcome for these people or businesses that do this to people buying the house. And I'm not sure how to fix that, and I don't think it's at our level to fix, unfortunately. But I would like to have this board approve the special exception.
Kathy Lidvina, I feel that, again, that this building needs to be brought back to its original configuration, at least per Dr. Williams, the front facade. I would go one step further again to include the original configuration of the windows as well as the porch. I can leave off the brackets. I do feel that we have compromised. The roof shape has been reconfigured. It's not visually compatible, and that is not being asked to be redone. The rear addition, keeping the rear addition, that's a compromise. The existing rear addition has replaced. It's certainly not in keeping with the Secretary of Interior standards for reconstruction. The windows on the addition, if we allow those to remain, that would be a compromise. I just feel the original building should be restored. Robin?
No further comment. Rebecca Fenwick, just a point of clarity. If we approved even some of the conditions, they could go to the ZBA if they disagreed, correct? The Zoning Board of Appeals?
Yeah, they could appeal their decision, right? Yeah, they could appeal their decision.
Kirsten Connor, that would also have an additional fee, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the ZBA is, I think, like 650 or 950, something like that.
Kathy Libana, can the fees be forgiven by the MPC, the $1,000 fee for this petition as well as the ZBA?
No.
You can't help them out at all?
No.
You don't have the ability to waive the fees.
Don't have the ability to waive the fees. Thank you. Is there a motion or further discussion necessary?
Kirsten Connor, I would like to make a motion to approve the special exception for the following after the fact alterations to the property located at 671, 673 West 34th Street, number 1, 2, and 3, and additionally approve the special exceptions for 1, 2, 3, and 4 under the staff's denial recommendation. I hope that's not confusing.
Ms. Pam Miller, I second that.
For the vote, May.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to the petition in the streetcar district, a petition of Matthew Farrar, 211 West 43rd Street, new construction, small part 1 and 2.
Sorry, hang on one sec. All right. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story commercial building for the vacant parcel located at 211 West 43rd Street. The building is designed to resemble a traditional two-story residential building typical in the neighborhood. However, it will be used for offices. An ADA ramp, which you can see here, is proposed along the east side of the building. With regard to visual compatibility, staff finds the proposed building to be visually compatible with contributing buildings to which it's visually related. The contributing buildings to the east, you can see one of the ones to the east in their context elevation. There's another one basically just like this right here, and they're contributing. So the contributing buildings to the east are compatible in height, width, and scale. The windows have a similar three-bay rhythm and the same one-story full-width front porch. Although sided in fiber cement instead of wood, materials are also similar and compatible. With regard to design standards, we need information regarding the railing heights. We need to ensure that it's 36 inches high here. That information just wasn't provided. And same for the pitch of the front porch roof. It needs to be pitched between 2 and 6, and we just need that information. So there's a standard, which you're probably all quite familiar with now. A minimum of 5 feet must be provided between a fence and a building where they're parallel. So they have a fence on both property lines here, and that's not meeting that standard. So we're requesting that fence be removed on both sides. Staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, provide the height of the porch railing, ensure it does not exceed 36 inches. 2, provide the pitch of the front porch roof, ensure it's pitched between 2 and 6. 3, remove the fence from between the buildings on both sides. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Rebecca Fenwick, there's no lane here, right?
There's not.
Okay, so the rear of the property is not in the visual compatibility.
Technically, right. Technically, it's not visible.
Okay.
And just to clarify, I didn't write about it in the report because parking's not in your purview, but the it was attached. If you saw it, the zoning administrator made a determination that parking is off-site parking is not required for this project because it's a commercial building. And the ordinance doesn't require off-site parking for the first 3,000 square feet of commercial space. So not that that's in your purview. I just thought I would mention that in case you noticed that there wasn't any off-street parking.
Any questions for the staff? No? All right.
Thank
you. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, this is Matthew Fairhart.
Comments?
Regarding staff's recommendations, we are very much amenable to all three. I believe that that information, we do meet the requirements of that. It just needs to be shown. We will meet with our architect to improve that. And then the fence was, it's new to me, so that we will definitely remove the side fence and bring it under approval.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, are there any members of the public? Okay. We'll now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll begin with Rebecca.
Can you pull back up the facade drawing?
Which one?
No, sheet 12. Yeah. I guess there's some relationship to the neighboring building. I might reserve for the next round of so that we can keep moving. I have a hard stop at 6. So if you will, Kathy, call on me again.
All right, Robin.
No comment.
Kirsten.
No comment.
Pam.
Pam Miller, no comment. I'm guessing it's the spacing of the columns. I think that I see why they seem odd, right? I think it's because the second column in from the left is equidistant from the edge of the building and the edge of the steps. And so the first two bays are the same and the far right bay is narrower for the door. I just thought I'd point out that it seems a little wonky. But I'm not prepared to stall the whole thing.
For what it's worth, my house has the it does exact the same thing on yeah. a 1919 house.
Okay, in that case.
That happens.
We'll call it a Savannah tradition. Thank you.
Kathy Labina, I would like this. I feel that this building needs a little bit more architectural character to keep it in harmony. The front door might need a little bit more prominence placed on it with potentially a transom, and the trim might need to add a couple more, a couple more details, like a water table on the bottom of the trim between the foundation and the siding. Just something to add to the character of the building.
Rebecca Fenwick, I think there are other transoms on the same block for the above the front door, and perhaps even and Robin, jump in here and correct me, like a frieze board, but at the pediment. If it's flush with the facade, but it's a roof trim piece, what is that called? Yeah, the fascia board. A fascia board would go a long way. And I...
Oh, at the top of the wall.
At the yeah, roof line.
At the top of the wall, yeah.
Yeah, fascia board.
No, it's the
frieze. Oh, frieze.
On the top of the wall or on the projecting?
Flush with the facade. Still called a fascia board.
I was thinking of the projecting dotted part, the front face of the fascia. That's what I thought. So in the neighborhood, that picture you got there,
uh-huh.
Something on top of the wall.
Yes.
Okay. Well then, that sounds like it.
Great, and it's called a fascia board, correct? I just want to for the motion. Okay. Well.
Are there any other points of discussion?
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Please.
Okay. Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We approve the project at 211 West 43rd Street with staff conditions to include an additional condition of adding a transom above the main entrance and a fascia board at the roof line flush with the facade on all faces of the building.
Of board.
Is
that, I think it's a frieze.
Freeze?
More
okay.
Like a freeze.
So I was
It'd
right.
It'd be more
first
like
time.
A freeze. Fascia. I thought you were talking about the soffit. So okay. The front face of soffit is the fascia.
A freeze board.
So a freeze board.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, I second.
For the vote, May.
May Boley approve. Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on.
With me for a minute.
Yes.
I just have to trust my own knowledge.
Yeah.
Up to Google, too.
All right, cool.
You're going to need more than Google, trust me.
All right, moving on. Petition of Greenline Architecture, 401 West 41st Street, contributing demolition.
All right, thank you. The applicant is requesting approval to demolish the contributing building located at 401 West 41st Street. The rehabilitation project was first approved for this building on September 28, 2022. It was amended on April 26, 2023. The building suffered severe damage as a result of a fire on September 26, 2023. After publication of the staff report, the building suffered another fire on Friday, October 20th. The applicant has some photos to show you regarding what it looked like after that fire. This building did receive an emergency demolition order from the city and has now already been demolished. So our original recommendation was for approval to demolish the contributing building, but then rather than traditional demolition, the building be deconstructed and the materials salvaged for reuse, and that basically to provide any photographs or drawings that we hadn't already been provided, because there wasn't any more documentation that could be done because it wasn't safe to go in the building. But I'm not sure that there's any salvage that can be done now that it's demolished. I think it's gone off the site. But I think that's a question for the applicant. So I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. I do not want to be here. John Deering with Greenline Architecture, and it's so good to see so many familiar faces. This is a set of really unfortunate circumstances. Our client, 1985 Properties, had bought both sides, the majority of the properties on both sides of West 41st Street between MLK and Montgomery Street. And we have been helping them rehabilitate and renovate. It's an income-producing venture, but also to help the rehabilitation of this whole area. And we've been working on this for 5 years. And the three houses across the street from this property are finished and ready for leasing. And we had received the COA on this building in April, and the contractor was going to start work. And then the fire in September happened, and then 401 West 41st was badly, badly damaged, with 403 and 405 being marginally damaged. The fire that occurred last Friday severely damaged 403 and 405 as well. And I'd like to talk about these two petitions in basically the same discussion because it tends to work that way. So this is what the corner building 401 looked like on Friday morning. And it is, it's pretty bad. And you can see, can you see my cursor on here? Mm-hmm. Okay. The pediment that I'm pointing at here is 403, 405. And this roof back here where my cursor is now is 403, 405. There's another view of 401 that is completely gone. The commercial space in the back, brickwork didn't suffer as much, but the wood timber that supports the brickwork was greatly damaged. This is a view, again, this is looking from Montgomery Street over the commercial space that attached to 401. And many of you were on this commission, I think, when we gained approval for this rehabilitation project. You can see the roof on 403, 405 beyond here, and then the amount of damage on 403, 405. And here again from a further away, and again closer up. And the back of the building of 403, 405 above the 401 brickwork. This is the view between the two buildings, and you can see 401 is extremely badly damaged. And 403, 405, you know, when I walked up, I'm like, this isn't that bad. And then there was a city development services fellow that had been there just before that said that they were going to issue an emergency demolition on both buildings. It's bad. You know, here you can look straight through 401. There's just really hardly anything left. And 403, 405 is coming down. So on Saturday, the owners hired a demolition company to take down 401, and the city asked them to take the porch off of 403, 405 because maybe we can see in this. Yes, in this photograph, you can see that the end of this gable here where the porch column was is gone, and they considered the porch a hazard. So they said to take off the porch as an emergency demolition measure. Well, when they did that, they started taking off the porch roof. The chimney here fell in, bringing down the rest of the roof onto the center of the building, and then the front wall started falling in. So they ended up just pushing the whole thing down because, unfortunately, it was going down by itself. So we're here to ask for demolition permits for both of these addresses. And I just really don't know what else to say. It makes me very sad too, because I had great visions of both sides of the street being beautifully finished. And on this side of the street, there were four houses that they were working on. Mm-hmm. And it's just bad. It's one of those things. I've been a staunch preservationist for my 42-year career, and this makes me sad. And they don't really know how the fire started, but there's suspicion that people had been living in 401 and caught it on fire the first time. And then there is some unhomed person that's in the neighborhood that said that somebody was even in there after the first fire. So we think those might be the circumstances. I'm not sure. So it's really hard to say. But I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Rebecca Fenwick, I'm so sorry. And it's a real loss, and I know you feel that. My question is about the one-story brick commercial front on the other street, yeah, to this street. Is there a fate for that? Is that part of
that's,
this or not?
That's now gone. It's
gone.
It's
so, okay, that includes that.
Yeah, yeah. The interior was completely charred. And. Mm-hmm. And you know what, you're a preservationist, you know what happens when you have a fire and brickwork and then the mortar becomes unstable and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, this last one was a doozy, according to the fire department.
Kathy Levina, do you have any supporting photographs that you would be willing to submit to the MPC? With your architectural investigation for the plans and the drawings that were previously approved?
Yes, it's public record.
I think she means like documentation you would have done as the architecture firm for hire of the existing buildings when you started the project that we could, that they could have on documentation. So if someone wanted to look at it, say in 10 years or something that.
Leah, don't we, you already have that?
I was just questioning whether there was more that we could have.
Okay. Well, certainly these photographs and then everything. Yeah, there's a, yes. And Ward Preservation and Architecture has been our preservation consultant on the project. So they have, historic material that I think we provided the HPC.
Yeah,
but we'll make sure that it.
All
right, thank you. Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment?
No, ma'am.
No?
No.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. We'll now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. May?
May Boley, no comments.
Ann Miller, there's not much left to be said.
Kirsten Connor, this is also another very unfortunate situation. I would have liked at least for the brick to be salvaged, but I know it's completely gone now, so that's a mute point. So no further comments.
Robin Williams, echo the sad loss of a little bit of the city's heritage and hope that maybe a reconstruction could be in order. But otherwise, no further comment.
No additional comment.
Kathy Lebrana, no comment.
Kathy, I thought of something. Can I get my second?
Sorry, again.
I just wanted to state that I think that this points to a modification that we could see at a city level, which is that currently all buildings, regardless of their historic status, fall under the same contract for removal. And I think it behooves us as a city to split that contract for historic buildings and non-historic buildings, and that the contract for even the emergency removal of historic buildings should be something more along the lines of deconstruction and salvage where possible. May Boley, thank you.
Rebecca Fenwick, you're here.
Is there a motion?
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion. We approve the staff recommendation.
May Boley second.
For the vote, May.
Boley approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Robin Williams approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Can we go straight to a vote for the next item?
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We approve.
I think I need to.
Oh.
I need to present it first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to continue the petition of Greenline Architecture 403405 West 41st Street, contributing demolition.
You can go ahead.
Good. Okay. Just looking for your eyes.
Oh, sorry.
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We approve the after-the-fact demolition of 403-405 West 41st Street.
Pam Miller, I second that.
All in favor? May?
May Boley approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Robin Williams approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Motion carries. Thank you.
It's really unfortunate.
Adjourn the meeting. I apologize.
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We adjourn.
Wait, you all got to finish.
You haven't finished the agenda. Please finish the agenda.
Yes. I just got excited. All right. My script.
She has to finish the agenda.
Yes, I did not finish the agenda. Approved staff reviews, moving forward. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions for the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? The board will now vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews. Oh, I need to read the list, excuse me. I do?
Yep.
I do need to read the list. Sorry. Petition of Sign to Sign, 1220 Barnard Street. Petition of DX Print and Mail, 12 West 38th Street. Petition of Roofing Professionals.
Where are you?
Where am I? Staff reviews, right?
Item 22. On the screen.
I see. I'm sorry. I've got the wrong agenda in front of me. The October 25th agenda is what I need to be reading off of. Correct. Okay. Petition of Kiwan Drayton, 1305 Barnard Street. Petition of Roof Crafters, 3 West 36th Street. Petition of Sean McCullough, 302 East 35th Street. Petition of Margarita Jordan, 116 East Anderson Street. Petition of Victory Roofing, 311 East 40th Street. Petition of Smart Shop, 1114 Abercorn Street. Petition of Your Exterior Pros, 316 West Park Avenue. Board will now vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews.
Mabley approve.
Kim Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Robin Williams approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Motion carries or acknowledged. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. There are two, the inspections report and the stamp drawings report.
Just your normal monthly reports. Nothing fancy.
Okay. Other business, there's none recorded. Is there any additional business you'd like to speak of? No.
Just want to say it's been a pleasure working with you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you for everything you've done for the city.
Yes.
For your 11 and a half years of service.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Leading preservation.
You're on a nice vacation.
As president of Kensington Park, I thank you for all the help you gave us in becoming a historic neighborhood. Thanks you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll miss y'all.
We'll miss you dearly.
Indeed.
But you're still a neighbor.
Yes, I am still your neighbor.
All right, we're looking at adjournment, the next meeting, Monday, November 20th, 2023. I guess can we adjourn? All those in favor of adjourning?
Approve.